Well, it's good afternoon, sorry. Yeah, for those of us that are in different time zones, lovely to see Luke and Diana here. I trust that you'll get out of this word as much as I have, each one of you. Vicky's right. Just recently we had a prophetic word given to the journey, and in it, it begged the question, who is the church for? You know, and I think for a lot of us who contend with that question, it's a big question. It's one I wrestle with, and it's one I've been wrestling with even before that prophetic word came to try and crystallize our thoughts about where we should be heading as a community in the next months, even years. And it's birthed really in one of my favorite Bible stories, which I'm going to read to you now, just ask you to listen to and to take in. And from there, I'm going to go into something I want to share. There is a little interactive activity, which will include writing and pens. How many people here still carry an old-fashioned thing called a pen? I've got a few, and I've got some pens here. So if you'd like to join me in Mark chapter 5, Mark chapter 5, we'll give you time to open your apps, get to your Bible. Yeah. Give me a wave when you've got there, or a hey-ho. Yeah, it's more journey, isn't it? A hey ho than a wave. Yeah, we're kind of a hey ho people, aren't we? Hey ho. Mark 5. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could control him anymore. Not even with chains. He had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you unclean spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the unclean spirit came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told also about the pigs. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. Tremendous story, isn't it? I know we've got a lot of avid readers in the journey, people that like to go through novel after novel. And, you know, for those of you who read and wade through pages and pages of narrative and plot development and character development, and you're kind of bursting to get to the big reveal, to that moment, the dramatic unveiling. Is it just me? The pulling together of all that story, the conclusion, who done it, who was it, does he love her, doesn't he? All of those kind of reveals. Often in the last few pages or even in the last lines of the novel. But I love this story because just in a few paragraphs, it has absolutely everything in it. Just in one short story. That's why it's one of my favorite Bible stories. It speaks so much about the love and the compassion of Jesus. It talks particularly about a profound and a far-reaching transformation of one encounter with Jesus and the effect it had on that man's community. I just want to pick one word from that story to concentrate on this morning. Anybody have a guess which word it is? Keep shouting out words. Legion. Anybody else? Community. Anybody else? I'll put you out of your misery. It's just one word. Jesus said to him, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you. So the word I'm focusing on this morning simply is people. A very simple Greek word called people, which means oikos. So what is an oikos, I hear you asking? An oikos, simply put, is a Greek term for a family or a household. But it actually means much more than that. In terms of understanding what it was in Greek terms, it was not just your own family, but it was those people who had servants and workers and those that were on the periphery of that family, that extended household. Family, co-workers, various relationships, that whole web of people that you regularly come into contact with. And this morning, I really just wanted to look at that and explore for each one of us to ask ourselves, what is my oikos? What does my oikos look like? And I'm going to hand out some paper to get you thinking with some pens. But in that, I want you to exclude any of your church family. So it's this oikos that exists outside this little bubble of church. I might prayerfully suggest if you find that difficult, there might be your challenge. If all your contact, all your oikos is simply made up of this small room, then perhaps it's something to think about. Anybody challenged by that? Does that make you feel uncomfortable? It shouldn't. Because most of us don't live in the church bubble. We're not here 7 days a week, are we? Where do we spend most of our time? We just congregate here for a couple of hours on a Sunday and perhaps some other time. But most of our time is spent outside in the wider world. So I'm going to need a volunteer to help me pass around some paper. So I want you to take a few minutes to look at this. And just for your own interest, so these are for you to keep. And just to simply put a name against what I've written down on there. So you've got family. You've got friends, neighbours, uni, school or college. You've got work, social, perhaps people that you just meet in a social capacity from time to time, and then other. Just take a little bit of time to put names in each one of those categories, yeah? Anybody not get that? Right, Richard, I'll come and sit with you. So hold your paper up in the air, just for a minute. I'm not going to do anything weird, but there now in your hands you have your own oikos. Ah, clever, eh? See what I did there? Yeah, it's really, really deep. But that's your very own list, and this is where I start to get into a little bit of the nitty-gritty of the talk, and I won't be talking for much longer. But this particularly is where you can be influential and demonstrate the kingdom of God and reveal who Jesus is. Come on, that's got to be exciting, hasn't it? The names there on that list are where you can be Jesus to people. Yeah. Outside of here, look around at this amazing group of people that you can be Jesus with, who lift you up, who encourage you, who love in you, who have compassion on you, who have time for you. This is what we do now with our list, our oikos, a whole group of people outside of this group that we can go and love on and have compassion on and spend time with and speak life and hope and peace and grace into. That's what excites me about having an oikos. Yeah, because I love being encouraged when I come together here. I love being encouraged when people speak to me and give me words of hope and life. But there's nothing more encouraging than going out there and doing that to somebody in your oikos. A family, a friend, a neighbour. Yeah. Is anybody excited about that? Yeah, it's a great opportunity, isn't it? So the prophetic word the journey had, who is the church for? Pete reminded us of a couple of vital terms in the New Testament that describe places of Christian community, places where we believe and we belong, places where we're accepted. You know, there's nothing better than going to a place where you feel accepted, is there? What's it like to go in any community where you can go in and feel right at home and know that you are loved and accepted for who you are outside of this community? There's nothing better. And you know, as we go outside of these doors this morning, there are so many people that have never experienced that to any depth or fullness. We live and have an opportunity to be in an amazing place right here, to live and to have our being and to be amongst a group of people who love us and accept us for who we are. Are you feeling that? Do you feel that when you walk through the door on a Sunday morning? Come on, I do. Yeah. This is what gathering is all about. So two words in the New Testament, the ecclesia. Just quickly say what that is. Those who are known as the called out ones. And there's something special about that. We'll just go back to that story that we read. Jesus asked him, what is your name? Do you know this morning that Jesus knows you by name? Doesn't sound very profound, does it? But know this, Jesus knows you by name. He has called you by name. Jesus called to himself those he himself desired, and they came to him. When Jesus spoke to his first disciples, he called them by name because he desired them, and he said, come and be with me. He'd done the same with you. Any of you here that have experienced a salvation experience that know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he'd done the same. He called to you by name because he desired for you to be with him. It's good news, isn't it? Yes, it is. It's good news. He desired to be. And even if you don't feel that this morning, that is your promise. If you're sitting there feeling that Jesus doesn't know you by name anymore, that is an absolute lie. He desired and called you to be with him. We're called out ones. And the second thing is the Kyriakon. And this just simply means the Lord's house, the house of the Lord. It's not the man from Uncle, but those of us a certain age, Elia Kyriakon, it's not him. What he had to do, I know. But this house where we meet on a Sunday morning is much, much, much more than just a building, isn't it? Much more than just a building. We are church wherever we gather and assemble. That's exciting, isn't it? Yeah. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. Jesus' words. Wherever two or three gather, I am with them. It's not just about Sunday morning, isn't it? It's not just about this gathering. It's about our small groups. It's about just being together somewhere. It can be in the pub. Yeah. A number of times that church has met in the Monkey's Forehead in the past. Who's been there? The number of the journey, the Barley Mow, wherever we go, wherever we gather in Jesus' name. And it doesn't have to be a meeting context. We are bringing life and we are bringing something of who Jesus is into that atmosphere and into that environment. It's so exciting. I can't tell you. You know, I go to work every day excited by the fact that I know that I'm just doing more than work. I'm bringing the kingdom of God into being. Every time that I stop to just share something with somebody, a politeness, a smile, a hello, I'm bringing the kingdom of God. I'm demonstrating something of who Jesus is. It can be funny. I was in Founders Building, which is in the campus at Royal Holloway. And I just had to go and get something from the room, another office that we have for trade union activity, comrades. And as I was looking down the corridor, I could see a young man spark out on the floor. So it was about 7:45 in the morning. He'd obviously had a good evening. And as I got near to him, I could see he wasn't moving. And I was thinking, well, it's going to turn out one of two ways. Everything's going to be all right. Or I'm going to be putting in a call to the emergency services. And I went near. I just stood over him and I spoke to him and said, how are you? And he just went, in response to my voice, I had a really silly smile on his face. And then I bent down and touched him and said, "Are you okay?" And his eyes flickered and he said, "Yeah." And as he got up, his leg had obviously gone to sleep. So it gave way and he went, "I'm paralyzed." So I prayed for him and Jesus, no, I didn't do that actually. That would have been a much better story. But I just said, "No, you're not paralyzed. Just calm down. So just give your leg a couple of minutes." And off he went. And that is just one example of the hundreds of different ways, probably thousands of different ways, in which I can be Jesus to somebody in my place of influence. Yeah. Whoever thinks well of me, thinks well of Jesus. Simple, isn't it? I've not always been somebody that people think well of. I have my moments. I can be a little bit, you know. I'm sure nobody believes that. Not for a second, but we all are. But the vast majority of times I know that in my just coming and going and stopping and saying hello in simple encounters, they can often lead to further deeper conversations as I get more connected to that person. So that's what this Oikos is about this morning. Yeah, that's what your list is for. It's for you to do whatever you will with. If you can look at your list, just pin it somewhere. Not only is it a reminder of the people that you come into connection with, but perhaps over the next days, weeks and months, you can add more names to that list. It can also be a reminder to pray for people who you've had a small connection with, or they've revealed something important to them. And they've probably gone away not even thinking that they've revealed an important thing to you, but you can pray about that. The other thing you can do is it's a reminder also that if you think, "I know this person quite well, why don't I just buy them a little gift? Or why don't I just call them up or ask them to go out for a coffee?" I mean, there's dozens of ways in which you can make something meaningful out of a simple list of names. Yeah? So that's your part of this deal this morning. It's your list. It has nothing to do with me. And as you go and come and express something of Jesus in your life, just use that list to remind you. Does that make sense? So for me, I've been thinking about this, that simply put, we who are called out, the ecclesia, we are to call out our household, our oikos, into this, the Lord's house. There's something about the rhythm and the movement of us being called out, calling out to others to call them in to the house of the Lord, to call them in to experience something of the love and the grace and the hope of Jesus Christ. It is not rocket science. Pete done all that last week with his physics and everything, which was amazing, Pete. Some real nuggets there. But it's a dynamic application to this. In Corinthians, we're called to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And I love the way the message puts this. So let these words wash over you as I come to a conclusion. God has given you and me the task of telling everyone what he is doing. We are Christ's representatives. God is using you and me to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them and us. We are speaking for Christ now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. 1 Corinthians 5. Yeah. So going back, and I finish with this. I've been working on this little phrase. It was something I picked up from a little bit of what somebody else said about this whole story in the book of Mark. And going back to the story in Mark, this is what it looks like when the living God, the utterly vivacious creator, love that word, Pete was talking about, the utterly vivacious creator, draws near to the desperate, the hurting, the broken, and the marginalized of a community. People that belong, but for some reason they've fractured the rules of belonging, that they've been cast out. Then what Jesus does is he gently takes that person, the weakest member of that community, and he begins to collapse that community's rules for belonging. Said, "No, you can't do that. There's no place for that in my community." And what he does is, by humanizing, not demonizing, the broken, the hurting, the addicted, the refugee. He doesn't do that. What he says is, come and see how community should really be. And you know where you can see the best expression of community, believe it or not, in a place like this. Amen. That is your oikos. Go and tell, come and see. Whichever way you want to do it, but be an expression of who Jesus is to others. Gently break down other people's rules for community and show them a better way. And I'm speaking to myself now. Gently challenge people's ways of what makes people included or excluded. Tell them to become friends with God because he's already friends with them. So this morning, in front of you now, you have your oikos, those groups of people that you're called to and have an influence on. Gently, with your words seasoned with grace, break down their understanding of what it means to belong. Teach them the ways of Jesus. Show them the ways of a loving, gracious Saviour. Amen. Shall we pray? Shall we stand? Thank you, Jesus. Those words resonate in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in our lives, for how you have been to us, ever graceful, ever forgiving, ever loving, ever compassionate, given us hope, given us a life worth living for, being an expression of light in our darkest moments. Father, I just pray for anybody here who doesn't yet feel that or is experienced in that sense of being cast out, being marginalized. Father, I call out and say, call out by name those people this morning that need to come back into the context of loving community. Just here now in Jesus' name, there's nothing that can separate you from the love of Jesus this morning. Nothing can separate you. And Father, for those of us that go out into our workplaces, amongst our family, our friends, our neighbours, wherever we find ourselves in the days and the weeks and the months ahead, let us be a testimony and ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Let our light so shine before men that they would see our good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. Father, I declare my love for this community, and I just pray that the love of this community will spill out into the homes and the neighborhoods around here, into the workplaces, the colleges, and the universities. This is our divine challenge, and this is our divine hope. The hope of the nation is in this room. And Father God, release us in Jesus' name to be the hope of our community. Amen. Amen.